Hey everybody, this is Tim Heidecker here from The High Network. I am the president and CEO of The High Network, and we're doing something pretty interesting and fun. We are, as we get ready for season 12 of On Cinema at the Cinema, which will be coming in the fall, we wanted to take an opportunity to give you guys a sneak peek at the summer movies coming up, just really right around the corner. And it's really exciting. The theaters are opening back up. We are getting back to normal. And there's some great movies coming. And we wanted to provide the information that you guys are always looking for when it comes to The High Network, and just get out in front of it. And I'm joined by a guest of On Cinema in the past, and now the temporary president of movie-related content for High Network, Greg Turkington, is here.
Hey, guys. It's great to be here, and especially to be back sharing the expertise that has been sorely lacking with the High Network. So it's pretty cool that I'm here and that I'm helping the network out with this stuff.
Well, I don't exactly see it that way. I think we were the High Network began earlier this year, and it wasn't that there was a lack of expertise, that there wasn't
Axiom.
Well, there was an issue with him and his knowledge. That is a fair point, but
yeah.
This isn't the right position for him. We get that now, but he is actually now on a sort of more macro 30,000 feet level, kind of in a much more secure place now, where he's actually able to see things on a macro level and see the vision of the High Network. And so you'll be reporting to him, as you know, and there'll be I don't want to get down in the muck with sort of the day-to-day shows, the different stuff we're developing right now. I want to give Axiom and all the content creators on the High Network a very long leash to learn and to experiment and to create and make great content. So
yeah, as long as you keep them away from talking about movies, I think everything will be fine.
All right, well, let's get into it. There are so many cool movies coming out this summer.
Yeah.
We're starting off with Peter Rabbit 2, The Runaway, and that's coming June 18th. Peter Rabbit 2, The Runaway, directed by Will Gluck, and starring the great James Corden, Rose Byrne, Domhnall Gleeson, excuse me, and David
Sounds like something a rabbit would say.
David Oyelowo. And this is the sequel to the great Peter Rabbit 1. Peter Rabbit 1, starring Peter Rabbit. And this is a mischief-prone rabbit embarks on a second adventure as Peter. And that's, of course, James Corden. The James Corden.
From Trolls. He did a voice in Trolls as well, which was another very cool animated movie.
This particular movie here finds Peter wandering away from home and making new friends as his family comes looking for him. So Peter gets away from the litter of his other rabbits and finds himself out there in the brave, in the wilderness, I guess. So let's just say this off the bat. We have not seen these movies yet, because these movies are coming up later this summer.
Yes.
So this discussion really is about getting a conversation going, an honest conversation about what we might expect, what we might not expect.
Sort of a forecast, a movie forecast.
Yeah. And so I'll kick it to you and just give it to me. What are you expecting from Peter Rabbit? What hopes do you have for it? And, you know, I guess we can do this as sort of what is your best guess in terms of a rating, and any other thoughts you have on Peter Rabbit quickly?
Well, you know, there are some warning signs about this one that you don't always get with a second movie. Usually a movie series will have about four or five movies, and then they have to start digging a little deep to find content. For instance, like the James Bond movies, as you know, there's about 20 books, and they were able to make each of those books into a great James Bond movie. And then they ran out of books, and they had to start making stuff up. And they did a good job with it. Sometimes it doesn't work as well. The Hobbit, there's one Hobbit book. They made it into three movies. They could have started making more stuff up and made another 10 Hobbit movies. In a way, I wish they had, but they wanted to remain true to the spirit of the book. What's strange about the Peter Rabbit is that there's like a lot of Peter Rabbit books, you know? And with this second movie, they're ignoring the books completely and just doing their own totally new story. There's new characters. There's a character Felix that wasn't in any of the Peter Rabbit books. So I feel like they may have lost their way to a certain extent. And I'm a little worried about it. The source material was there for them to depart this drastically, I think, raises some red flags. I think Hollywood and the studio is very worried about this movie. And we'll have to see what goes on with it. But based on the cast and the director and the quality of the first one, I think it's going to be great. I'm going to give it 5 bags of popcorn, but we'll see.
Okay. I don't feel that way. You know, I don't have those fears. I think Will Gluck is in the best position ever, really, to deliver a movie, if not as good, then better than PR1. So I can't wait to see the gang back together. And as far as cartoons go, this is probably going to be the number one cartoon of the summer. And 5 bags of popcorn for me.
That's 5 bags of popcorn, but with some reservations. We'll see if they can pull this off.
All right, the next movie is another sequel, but this is almost goes beyond sequel because it's not just the second one, it's actually the ninth. This is F9, and that's...
It's actually the 10th.
This is F9.
Yeah, but this is actually the 10th Fast and Furious movie, even though it's called F9, which is kind of problematic because there was one called Fast and the Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw, which was kind of a spinoff.
That's
movie.
A side movie. That's not a direct sequel to the...
But it's still called Fast and Furious. If you're going to have the name in the title, then this should be F10, not F9.
Okay, well, this is directed by Justin Lin, Vin Diesel, John Cena, Michael Rodriguez, Ludacris.
I think it's ludicrous that this isn't called F10.
And Charlize Theron. This is a good movie. This is Vin Diesel leading a quiet life off the grid with Letty and his son, Little Brian. But they know that danger always lurks over their peaceful horizon. This time the threat forces Dom to confront the sins of his past if he's going to save those he loves most. And this is just another... this is a lot of driving, and that's what you'll get to see. You know, you go to these movies to see the cars and to see the new cars. This is how they introduce a lot of new cars. And that's... I'll let you kind of lead off the discussion about F9. And then I'll jump in. But you go ahead and tell me what you're expecting from F9, or as you call it, F10.
Well, that's what it should have been called. I'm going to call it F9 just because when there is an F10, I'm going to be thinking this should have been called F11. But I don't want to confuse things. I think it's going to be great. They have not dropped the ball ever with this series. And the other day I noticed, I don't know if you ever noticed this, but every car, and it includes all the cars in the Fast and Furious movies, has what's called a vehicle identification number, a VIN. It's kind of interesting that the lead actor is Vin Diesel, that he would be named something that's so related to what his career would become, which is a guy that drives the Fast and the Furious cars. It's kind of ironic that...
I would assume that was a decision he made. That's probably not his real name. He probably loves cars. I don't know if his name was Vin Diesel at the beginning of the Fast and Furious. Probably wasn't. I think my guess is what happened is he saw the success of this and maybe even cynically said, why don't I cash in on this or really, you know, tie myself to this, and then changed it to vehicle identification number Diesel.
That makes sense. I mean, you know, a good name tied in with a good series makes a good career. If Roger Moore hadn't had the 00 in his name, maybe he wouldn't have been cast as 007. Who knows? In any case, Vin Diesel is here to stay, and this is probably going to be one of the best of the Fast and Furious movies, despite the hijinks with the name, which I disagree with completely.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you consider this a late period Fast and Furious, or is it, are we sort of in the middle of the franchise? Where are we in the franchise? Do you have any sort of predictions on that?
As you mentioned earlier, you know, there's always going to be new cars. There's always going to be new roads to take those cars on. And as long as Vin Diesel is alive and as long as cars are coming out, these movies are going to keep happening as long as people want to see them. And I, for one, do want to see them. So I think you could probably assume in the next 100 years there's going to be 100 more Fast and Furious movies. And may we all live long enough to see them all.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that this is my two cents on this movie is, and I can't wait to see it. I'm going to be there on opening night. But this angle on this that steals my resolve is that you don't have governments telling the Fantastic Four or the Fast and Furious director and writer, you have to use a little electric car, or you have to watch your speed limits, and you have to follow all these rules and regulations that actually, these are gas fueled cars. And that is a big sign to the world that we're not going anywhere and we're not going to give up on fossil fuel, because fossil fuel is what fuels our country. So we see now that there still is bravery left in the world of motion pictures. And you almost have it nowhere else, but there is that one shining beacon of Vin Diesel and John Cena and the Justin Lin, the director.
And Helen Mirren, the queen, who's in this movie in a very small role, but that's kind of a cool thing that she respects this movie and probably is a big fan of it and asked to be included.
Well, there's all kinds of bit players in this movie, but the key is that this is a big, loud, almost like this rumble of an engine at the NASCAR race. This is a loud signal to the world that we are here to stay, and we are not just we're not going to become China. We're not going to become some second class country that has to drive around on mopeds or something, you know. And there's not going to be this Green New Deal.
Well, but you do have to wonder about our education system, that they can't count to 10 because this is actually the 10th movie,
right?
And they're calling it F9. So that's one strike against America.
I mean, just all you got to do is give people the choice to go to the school that they want to go to, and don't tax them.
Well, what school teaches you that 10 is 9?
I don't. I'm not going to get into the specifics of the numbers here on the sequels and whatever. I think it's pretty clear.
Well, it's clear that they made a bad choice with this, but it's also clear that it's going to be a good movie regardless. Sometimes you see a movie, we hate the
quickly,
title.
Give
you
me
hate
the
title, but you love the movie.
Give me your rating on this, your predicted rating.
Predicted rating or actual rating? I haven't seen it yet, so
I'm saying I want you to predict the rating, and we will talk later about how close you got.
Well, I would have to say I'll give it 4 bags of popcorn, which actually means 5 bags of popcorn because they're off by 1 with their numbering system. So, yeah,
And I'll go 5 bags of popcorn,
which means 6 bags of popcorn.
No. In this case, I'm just saying.
Well,
it's 5.
In this case, they don't seem to have their numbers straight. Mm-hmm. So
okay. This is another sequel. I mean, this is the summer of sequels, and you predicted this during the Oscar special. I have to say, I have to give you credit where credit is due.
Thank you.
You said this would be the summer of two. 2021 would be the summer of two. I think you said something like that. I can't remember verbatim. You were pretty clear that we were going to see the number two. We're going to see sequels. And it's money in the bank for a lot of these studios. They know the power of some of these brands. And so good for them. They're recognizing how they can, because they've lost so much money during the China virus, that now they can come and strike hard and make that money back and triple it and quadruple it. I'm looking at them and kind of in awe at the bravery of to kind of go back. It was almost that retreat. As I study military tactics, you retreat and you have to, at some point you have to cede. You have to know when you're not going to win the battle to win the war. So this is a good example of that. Studios, Hollywood.
Which movie is this?
I'm saying this general strategy we're seeing from the studios to take a step back and evaluate how they're going to come and strike again in 2021, in the summer of 2021. And the evidence is here. They're striking hard with things that they know are going to be successful, and that is sequels. Space Jam, A New Legacy is a great shining example of that. For 25 years, we've been waiting for the sequel to this. I think everyone's been holding their breath.
And could now, be a remake, though. Remember, as we talked about in the Oscar special, 2 now doesn't just mean a sequel. It could also mean a remake.
Well, in this case, we don't know. We don't know anything about this. They're keeping it under lock and key. We do know it was directed by Malcolm D. Lee. We know it's starring Sonequa Martin-Green, Don Cheadle, Martin Kleba, and LeBron James and Bugs Bunny. And,
I was going to say, you're forgetting the biggest star of all. That's kind of ridiculous you mentioned him last.
Bugs Bunny has
the longest career of any of those people.
So Bugs and LeBron are together finally, and this is a new spin on the story. This is, LeBron is transported to a digital world and must team up with the Looney Tunes to defeat an evil AI's goon squad in a game of hoops. So this really is... not a sequel. That's confirmed. I mean, it's not a remake. It is a sequel. So we know that now.
Could be a little bit of both.
Well, it does hit on similar themes as Space Jam 1. Why would you break what's the expression? Don't break an egg if you've cracked the egg, don't break it.
Mm.
Don't cry for spilt milk.
Mm-hmm.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Is the expression. Yeah, but if it's broke or if it's not broke, don't wait 25 years to make another movie, because Bugs Bunny fans such as myself and others have been waiting a long time for this. And I think in a sense you did break a lot of eggs by not making a movie sooner.
Well, we haven't seen Bugs in a while. So talk to me about what you're expecting here. Give us the preview. Give us the expertise. Show us where, what to expect, how to expect it, why we're getting more Space Jam.
Well, if you saw, I don't know if you know, but Bugs Bunny started out more on television. And then, Hollywood was like, this is ridiculous. Let's bump him up to the silver screen. That's when he had Bugs Bunny Superstar with Orson Welles back in the late 1970s. And then they kind of dropped the ball. You didn't see Bugs on the big screen for a long time. You saw him in the Space Jam movie, and then that was it. And it's one of those mistakes, you know, kind of like, why haven't there been 50 Wizard of Oz movies since 1939? You know, you think how many Fast and Furious movies, as we know, 10, despite the name, have come out just in 20 years. And now it's been almost 100 years, and we still don't have another Wizard of Oz. So I think that Hollywood dropped the ball on this with Bugs Bunny, and they're going to try to make it up to us. If you want to make it up to us, Hollywood, let's have 6 more Space Jam movies in the next 3 years, and let's step up the pace. And I think you're going to see that, because I think this is going to be enormously successful.
I have to say, I love that you went with drop the ball, because now it looks like they're going to pick it up and there'll be a slam dunk. And
exactly. They'll dribble it.
And that would be an awesome pull quote if they want to consider that.
And you know what? Throw the ball into the basket, but not into the bucket, because that should be filled with 5 bags of popcorn.
So the bucket. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, it should be 5 buckets of popcorn. Right. Sorry. Well, you wouldn't fill the bucket with the bags, but you would have 5 buckets of popcorn, because some theaters have the paper bags, but that's usually the small size. If you want a big popcorn, it's usually a bucket. For our rating system, we have to go with bags. But really, when I'm actually out and about on the town eating popcorn, it's usually out of a bucket.
Okay. Here we are with another sequel. And there's just a lot. And there are other sort of no-name
Good.
Movies. Yeah, there's another. This is the summer of sequel. And there's no more evidence than right now with Snake Eyes, which is actually, if you think about 2, when you put Snake Eyes, 2 ones, the dice... together, you have basically a 1 and a 1, and that turns out to be 2. So it's kind of clever on their part to make this a little wink. And if you know dice, if you know how dice works, you're basically, when you say Snake Eyes, what you're saying to the audience is 2.
2. Yeah. And that's what we talked about on the Oscar special, is essentially this is the summer of how many different ways can we say 2. And this was a brilliant way to do it, is calling a movie Snake Eyes, even though It's only been 3 years since the first Snake Eyes movie. They're remaking it already. This is one of
well,
the quickest
actually,
remakes
yeah,
in movie history. Usually you get remakes pretty fast, especially when a movie flops like the Fantastic Four. They're remaking that already because nobody liked the original one that you were in. So they're redoing it fast, you know, to kind of get people to forget that other one. But the Snake Eyes movie, which came out 3 years ago, people loved it. So this is insane to remake it that quickly. You just go watch it again. You don't need a remake.
Well, this is not that Snake Eyes. This is a sequel to the spinoff of the G.I. Joe universe, an origin story for the mute ninja commando known as Snake Eyes, with the rich, crazy rich Asians breakout star Henry Golding in the title role. This also stars Henry Golding, Andrew Koji, Samara Weaving. And again, these are names I've never seen or heard before. So it's a big risk. Ursula Corbero, and directed by, of course, Robert Schwenke, S-C-H-W-E-N-K-E, Schwenke.
Yeah, pretty well-known director.
But this is, you know, again, back to my Tim take during the Oscar specials. A lot of evidence now, even more compelling evidence, as we look at the star, quote-unquote stars, in this summer's series of movies. You don't have Tom Hanks, you don't have Tom Cruise, you don't have Johnny Depp, and a number of people, and Steven Spielberg's no longer directing. You know, of all these legends, quote-unquote legends, are no longer with us, you know, and they are in either custody or evading the law.
They could be all working together on one big movie.
And that's not what's happening. The only movie, if they're working on a movie together, then it's in hell because they've been executed and are now together in the seventh level of hell, paying for their crimes. And the crimes are serious crimes. We're not going to discuss them here.
It's like, oh God, you devil.
But we're going to, you know, we're going to probably have more information on that in the fall. And we'll see, we'll get the actual unredacted list of directors, actors, writers, producers who have been, you know, we'll have three categories. We'll have, waiting trial, those who have been executed, and those who are evading the law, who are in hiding. So that'll be a really interesting list to look at with you guys in the fall. But Hollywood persists, and that's why you see them going to the third string, fourth string actors that are out there. And it's a great opportunity for them. And let's just hope that they don't take this opportunity to abuse, to get into this sort of illicit activity, this really truly horrid stuff that you see people like Tom Hanks and people like Steven Spielberg engaged in, and that's why they're in this mess. So hopefully Henry Golding and all these other people here will keep their noses clean and be real model actors for the world to enjoy, because we love work. We love seeing the work.
You've got to think about it this way, though. You love the Godfather movies. You've always said that, you know.
They're definitely in my top 10, top 20. Yeah.
Well, imagine a conversation on the set of The Godfather where Marlon Brando, Robert De Niro, Al Pacino are all sitting around and they're saying, who should we get to play this little role in the movie? Should we get Johnny Depp? Should we get Brad Pitt? And they're all like, I've never heard of any of these people. No way. Mm-hmm. Because those people hadn't yet established themselves as stars, you see? So this Henry Golding could be the Marlon Brando or the Johnny Depp of the future. And that's why you got to keep your eyes and ears open and give these movies a chance, because nobody had even heard of some of these people 50 years ago. And now they're our biggest stars.
Well, a lot of those people weren't born even, I believe, when they were doing The Godfather. So, or maybe even if Johnny Depp would have been, you know, maybe in a toddler or something at that point. I'm not sure how old he was, but it would be very odd if his name came up in conversation amongst those great actors that you just mentioned. Your thoughts on Snake Eyes? I know you have some feelings on this.
I just, like I said, I think it's. I don't know if this is a remake or a sequel. I haven't seen the movie. Nobody's seen it. Nobody in the world has seen Snake Eyes. Isn't that an interesting...
Editors and the producers and the people involved in the marketing and everything have seen the movie. But...
Well... Most people, your common person and your movie critic or buffs or experts haven't seen the movie. So we don't know if it's a sequel or a remake. We don't know. If it's a remake, like I say, it's a little soon for that. Although you do wonder, What would have happened if George Lucas had remade Star Wars in 1980 rather than doing a sequel? Let's just remake it. Probably would have been just as popular because people loved the original, and you know he would have done it a little differently. So maybe that's the approach that these guys are taking. I don't know. We'll find out, and I look forward to sharing what I learn with everybody.
It's July 23rd, so we'll all be on eggshells waiting for that movie to come out, and we'll all be there. Selling out theaters in person, no longer scared of the quote unquote virus, hiding in fear. No longer, we will be proudly out, breathing and coughing and laughing and shouting and
eating popcorn. And spitting don't
and
forget
doing
that.
Everything.
Don't
and eating popcorn
that.
And soda yes. and candy bars.
Well, not so much the candy bars.
Rubbing elbow to elbow and shaking hands and hugging and slapping everyone on the back. That's what I'm going to be doing. The second I can get out to the movie theater. Finally, there are other movies, like I said, other indie movies and things like that that are certainly coming out this summer. We're focusing on just the big ones. I was working on this earlier. M. Night.
Yes, so, Night.
M. Night, and then
exactly.
Shyamalan. Yeah, M. Night Shyamalan. The
modern day Hitchcock.
M. Night Shyamalan, who's back
yep.
with Old. Jeez.
One of the shortest movie titles in movie history.
That's Old. That's it. I thought there was a typo because it was, of course, Old Dogs.
Yeah.
Robin Williams and John Travolta. And you have Old Man in the Sea, which is a book.
Or even movies like New, mm-hmm. New York, New York, for instance, the movie that starts with New. So you've got Old and you've got New. When it comes to Old, though, this is definitely the only movie I've ever heard of that's just plain old. Mm-hmm. They didn't add other words to the
title. Well, you have old, you have grumpy old men with
and grumpier old men too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is just old though. This is not any other words attached, and it's M. Night, his movie, his return really since the last movie he did, which beyond Sixth Sense, there's a few others after that, but. Great cast here of Thomasin McKenzie, Rufus Sewell, Gael Garcia Benrall, Embeth. This is a mess here. Embeth Davids, and all kinds of different names here. The real sort of diverse group of kids doing this movie here. But this is the, like you said. I'll call him Hitchcock. I'll call him the Indian Hitchcock. Latest. This of his latest follows a family on vacation who discovers the secluded beach where they're relaxing and is mysterious, causing them to age. To age rapidly. That's why it's called Old. Almost like Benjamin,
on Golden Pond.
Or I was going to say Benjamin Buttons. But it seems straightforward. But you know, you know he loves his twists.
Yes.
And so he does. And that is the secret sauce of M. Night. Of Knight's success. That's the secret of M. Knight's success.
Secret of my success. Remember that one with Michael J. Fox from 1990?
The secret is the twist. And I don't think you have an M. Night Shyamalan. I'm sorry about that. I don't think you have one of his movies without a twist. I think you'd be disappointed if you watched all of Old, got to the end, and everything kind of, oh, that worked out. That was good. That made sense.
They're old and they die, like they're on Golden Pond.
Right.
There's no twist in that. They're dead. And it's a sad movie. In this, probably what's going to happen is they're going to be born again or become young.
Well, there's no way to know because he keeps it so secret. And
there's only so many twists it could be. If somebody's getting old, they're probably going to either die, come back to life, or they go back in time and become young again.
But look at something like Jonathan Winters in Mork and Mindy with his character Mirth, who was...
That's TV, though.
Right.
This is a movie.
But this is you could apply this to here, where Jonathan Winters' character Mirth was an old man who got young, who was born as a baby.
Right.
And so he gets older He's an old man, but then he acts like a baby, which was a great comic device for Jonathan Winters to play with the great Robin Williams and behave as a baby. And that would be interesting to see if M. Night dips into that logic, the Mork and Mindy logic for this project. We don't know. We don't know. That's a twist that you wouldn't see coming.
Or like the Lost Horizon logic, where they don't age until they step outside of Shangri-La, and then they age instantly and they turn to dust.
You also have something like 18 Again with George Burns, where he swaps with his grandson, and suddenly the grandson is old. Or the grandson's mind is in the body of old George Burns. And then you have the swap where George Burns is now the old man, but his body, his mind is in the... Very confusing. Yep. Very hard to follow. And I always could not follow those movies. I never understood what was going on. Very confusing. So if old is like that, it's going to lose me. That's my prediction. If it gets too complicated, and if there's too many things for me to think about, I zone out and I can't follow... And I get real lost. I get very angry.
Ah, but you're in the hands of a master. And I'm sure that when M. Night was watching all the movies that we discussed and writing this thing based on the best bits from each of those movies, his goal was to make sure this was a movie that everyone could enjoy. Because this is a guy who has an unparalleled track record of 5-bag-of-popcorn movies. And these are movies that essentially are 15-baggers. Do you know why that is? Because most people see them 3 times. Because they can't believe the twist. So they got to go back once and back again. They should release this in June so you can watch it in June, watch it in July, and watch it in August. Then summer's over and you go back to watching the new fall movies.
Well, if I was M. Night, I would have thrown a B at the beginning of the title. I'd call it bold because that's what his movies always are. They are bold and they go where, almost like the old Star Trek line, bravely go where no man has gone before. Or now they've sort of played with, now there's, you know, it becomes very culturally insensitive to gender the situation with boldly go where no man has gone before. Now it has to be boldly go where no one has gone before. Okay, well, there. If you looked at that origin of that, you don't. Kirk is a man, and you don't. It's clear what that is, but of course, in later subsequent episodes or seasons or
well.
Then you have different...
In the movie, that wasn't really part of the Star Trek.
I'm just
movies.
Saying, I think it's a good time now to point out the hypocrisy when you have the sort of woke left saying whether or not somebody is, if they're a man or a woman or whatever. You know now, when we look back where that started, it started when the shrieking liberals started saying, oh, it has to be boldly go where no man has gone, where no one has gone before. And that's the origin of that. So,
well, I would go in the opposite direction and say, why call it bold when you're already looking at F9, which is a 2-letter title? You could call this OL, O-L, with an apostrophe. Then it's another 2-letter title. Then you're tied for the shortest title of the summer. And that's going to be a better position to be in than people saying, oh, 3 letters, big deal. I'll watch the movie with 2.
You are in the dark on one thing. And I think I didn't want to call you out on this throughout the program as we're talking today, but run times for these movies.
We have no idea.
No idea.
No idea. And that's something we could speculate on. I've got my opinions on what these will be based on information that I've gleaned from other movies of these types. For instance, Old, I think it's actually going to be 121 minutes. That's my prediction.
Okay.
Peter Rabbit 2, I think it's going to be 89 minutes.
Write that down, folks. Let's see what happens.
That's my prediction. Space Jam 2. These guys are pros. You're working with Bugs Bunny and the whole Warner Brothers crew. You know how to get a running time right. 100 minutes flat.
Mm.
No way around that. That's my prediction. And I feel most confident about that of any of these 100 minutes for Space Jam 2. Snake Eyes, I think they're going to play a little bit of a game with us here and do 102, which isn't exactly Snake Eyes.
That's a lot of fun. That's having fun with it.
It's having fun with it. So those are my predictions. And then
what else?
Did I get them all?
I think you did. Well, yeah. F9, you said, yeah.
Oh, F9? No, I didn't say.
Okay.
I think that's going to clock in at 111.
Ah, a little longer.
Yeah.
Well, people, you know, you want more of that. That's why they're making it. So why not give them as much as they can within the constraints of the budget?
When the cameras are rolling, why turn them off? You got these great actors there Fillmore stuff. People always want to see it. Nobody ever walks out of a movie and says that was too long. It's always that was too short.
Mm. All right. Well, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts. I guess quickly, you said that you're giving the old 15 bags of popcorn. Is that
What I'm saying is five bags of popcorn.
That seems pretty crazy
for each time you see it. And I predict that I'll be seeing it three times, as I have all of M. Night's movies, and as I think you need to really catch some of the.
So five bags of popcorn.
Five bags times three. You got to see it three times. So a total of 15 bags for the three screenings that you will attend.
Okay, I will give it five bags and a cup of soda because I think this is going to be I'll give that a reservation. If he keeps it simple and doesn't overcomplicate things and doesn't rile me up into a state of fury of, you know, when I get confused, I get very upset. So we're hoping that doesn't happen with this movie, and it very well could. And then I'll have to rescind those bags, which I'm very ready to do. I'm in a great position to do that. So we've got a little time, but thank you for joining us for this summer movie preview.
Greg, forecast, summer movie forecast.
You have, you've been working, we'll give a little plug here. You have been hard at work on a new series for iNetwork coming out in a week or so, very soon,
mm-hmm.
this month in June. Can you give us a little taste of what to expect? You teased this on Twitter, I saw, kind of without going through the chains of without going through the proper promotional chain that we've set up at High. So I just want to make sure going forward that your announcements are cleared through Tony and everybody.
It was just a sneak peek. It wasn't.
Yeah, but I still think we should clamp down on that because we all want to be singing the same song. We all want to be going in the same direction.
The song is movies. I'll definitely be singing. Yeah, this is a segment that actually we put one out, sort of a prototype, a pilot, as they call it. Last year before Classic Movie Time, and it became one of the most watched segments in the history of On Cinema or Our Cinema. So people were like, when can we see more Classic Movie Times? So we got together our crew and went out and shot these things and have been working on the editing and the titles and all that sort of stuff and sound. Just the post-production on these things ever since. But we've got 10 of them ready to be broadcast as soon as you will put them out. I don't know why you can't just put them out today because they're ready to go.
Well, there's a plan. That's what I say. That's why Axiom and Tony and I and I have all and several other people are also, we're all sort of strategically placing, putting these out on a time. We're not just going to dump everything at once.
Well, it's not dumping. It's releasing. Was it dumping when Casablanca was released?
No, but there was a plan to put it out.
I mean,
pretty straightforward.
I planned it's not to do these for you as quick as I could so that you'd have some
content. Okay, well, like I said, it's coming out in like a week or so.
Okay, well.
We just want to be ready for it.
I just
and
want
this is a good
to
opportunity to tell people
can.
That it's coming.
Okay.
So you don't have to get upset.
I'm
it's
not
coming
upset.
Out.
I'm just saying I don't understand why when you have these things – why you need to sit
because
on
because there's a process that they go through. Like you said, you're still working them, you're still editing them and everything. And as soon as that happens and we have a chance to, we've already scheduled it and they're coming. Now, I haven't even, this is not stuff I want to get in the middle of. Now, Axiom has told me he's overseeing the release schedule and the production schedule for this. So you can just chill out and be glad that there's somebody that's going to be putting this out that's going out to the sizable audience that exists and not dying on the vine on the VFA.expert site, which is now kaput. And now that's all I want to say about that. I didn't want to go in this direction with you, but you keep needling about this and you've been emailing and texting me every goddamn day about when this is coming out. And I told you nicely before we started talking today that that it's on a timetable and that we have a plan and you have to trust the plan. So that's it. Thank you, everybody. And we'll see you in the fall for season 12 of On Cinema and so much more this summer. Lots of exciting things coming down the pike on the High Network.